What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Plant the Spear Podcast. I'm your host, Jesse, and thanks for tuning in. Yes, it is not a figment of your imagination. It is actually me, and I'm actually back on the microphone. I know it's been a little bit. I've been on a little bit of a hiatus from putting out episodes, which I do apologize. I even had a couple of you guys reach out on social media asking, you know, hey, what the heck happened to the podcast? And I appreciate you that did reach out. It is nice to know that someone actually notices when you're not there. And so I'm back. Hopefully I'm going to be, you know, on a more consistent regular basis coming up. I just kind of took a break because I had a lot going on. And, you know, obviously you guys know that it's summertime, so really the only thing there's to talk about right now is recruiting. And if you listen to the show for any amount of time, then you know I primarily talk about commitments and decommitments because there's just too much going on. The world of recruiting is just too crazy to try and keep up with where all these kids are spending their summertime. I'm still trying to figure out where I'm spending my summer, mostly indoors because it's so daggone hot outside. I'm ready for the fall to get here already. But anyway, between that and just trying to get this preseason magazine done, and I know you guys are probably thinking, like, you've told us about this thing about five times, so where is it? And it's getting close, guys. I'm almost there. I'm kind of putting the finishing touches on it. I got a few more game previews to do as well as my final thoughts on the season. But there's a lot that goes into it. Most of you guys know that I do all this stuff by myself, so it just eats up a lot of time, and I do spend probably at least a few hours on each team doing game previews. And then, of course, you got the position group previews and all these things that go into it. The thing about it is it takes a long time to create everything. But throughout the process, it lets me get all the information I need to be able to give you guys the type of content that you expect from me now. I've kind of always found my place with being the one who turns all the stones and finds all the details and goes into these things. And so, you know, if I don't do that footwork, then you guys, that's what makes you trust my opinion on these things. That's why you listen to this show. And so I don't want to shortchange myself, the quality that I put out, or what you guys expect from me. So it does take a lot of time. And the transfer portal really only 10x that. Trying now to cross-reference, this was a good player, but he left. That's was a good player over there, but now he's over here. He did this in the Big 12. Can he do it in the SEC? You know, there's just so many moving parts that it just really takes a long time. But I think the good thing about it is, like I said, now I've had a deep dive into a lot of these other aspects about the season, so I can make a more informed opinion. A lot of times you'll have people that just say, you know, I think this team's going to do this or this team's going to do that, which is based a lot on last year. And to me, you really need to know, like when you look at Boston College as a perfect example, last year they went 3-9, lost their starting quarterback, lost their all-time wide receiver, Zay Flowers. You would think on paper, they're going to get worse. But when you look at why they were so bad, the offensive line, has it been fixed? Yes. And so now I think Boston College will be a better team this year. So that's the type of thing that I talk about, where you got to have that in-depth information to make a proper opinion about things. But it is getting close. I'm almost done. And so do be on the lookout for that. Probably going to be about another week by the time I get finished. I know I'm up against a deadline, guys. I know we're barely over 30 days out from the season. So trust me, I am sweating getting this thing done. But with that being said, on to the next subject that I want to talk about. This was something that it did eat up a lot of time from getting the magazine done, but it was an opportunity that I had to take that was I don't get often because of where I live. I live local to Charlotte, and the ACC Media Days, ACC Football Kickoff, whichever you want to call it, was here last week, and I don't get an opportunity to interview coaches and players very often, being how far I live from Tallahassee. So I got the opportunity to go, and I just wanted to share that experience with you guys because, you know, a lot of people that work in college football media, that's their job. That's what they do full time. And a lot of you know this is a passion project for me. This is not my job. And so you may not get to hear that perspective very often. And, you know, to start with, it was a really fun event once I got past the nerves, because I'm going to tell you guys, I was really nervous. Day one, I felt like a fish out of water. I didn't know where anything was at. I didn't realize how fast everything moves. Kudos to the guys that do this for a living. You really got to be on your toes, because one minute you're talking to the team, the next minute they're in a different room. And, you know, and now it does make things a little chaotic when you're trying to get all these sound bites and interviews and questions asked as only one person. So I might need to branch out next year. That is, if we even go to the ACC kickoff, we might be going to the Big Ten kickoff next year, or who knows, but we're going to talk about that in a minute. I am glad that Florida State went on day two, so I had a day to get acclimated, because I tell you what, when they put that microphone in front of your face and you know that you're on TV, you know, I thought I was going to pass out. My heart was beating so fast. You know, and really, realistically, I just went in here and I'm like, okay, let me just maybe network a little bit. Let me take in the whole experience and don't trip over any cords on TV. You know, don't stutter or embarrass yourself on national television. So I think I accomplished that. I know a few of you guys even messaged me telling me that you saw me on ACC Network, and that was awesome. So it was really fun, and I'm so thankful for the opportunity that I got to do this. And I did get to ask a few questions. You know, the thing about these media events, you're going to get a lot of coach speak. So I don't know how much you're able to glean from this. We did hear a few things from Mike Norvell in the breakout room press conference, which I do have the whole video of that conference or of that interview on our YouTube channel that you can go check out. But it was cool to be able to live the dream of behind why I started this for a few days. You know, this isn't something that I know is ever going to be a full-time job for me. So it was something that, while that would be the end goal, the ultimate goal, just being able to be part of the college football media world, or whatever you want to call it. And that's what I got to do for, even if it was only for 3 days. And so I do want to say thank you to you guys, because it is your support. It is your listens, your likes, your subscribes, your clicks on the articles that helped me to be able to continue doing this, to be able to have that opportunity. And hopefully I can use it to bring you guys some good content. It was just overall, like I said, the experience, it was really fun. It was really fast paced. It was really exciting to be able to talk to all the players. Of course, I was definitely like looking forward to day two. Mike Norvell, Jordan Travis, Jared Verse, Kalen DeLoach, Florida State. That was the money that I had to be ready for. But I also enjoyed the conversations I had with Boston College. I enjoyed the conversation that I had with some other players. I got to interview Cade Klubnik. I got to interview a couple of guys from Miami that, you know, maybe because they had a tougher season, they weren't as heavily congregated around by the press. So I knew I had an opportunity to get some really good one-on-one interviews. And it was a learning experience for me. I took a picture with Mark Richt. That was pretty cool. I got to see him. I did see EJ, but he was going to eat. And I know, you know, when you're a man on a mission going to get you something to eat and you're hungry and you have a limited amount of time, I really didn't want to bother EJ. So I just kind of let that one go. Speaking of the food was really good. Now, maybe this is where the revenue gap exists in the ACC, because they really took care of you. I mean, they had some great food there all 3 days. I wasn't going to tell you guys this because I was a little embarrassed. But it's crazy in there. Like, when you get into the breakaway interviews, like, it's just kind of like an alligator pit. You know, everybody's chomping at the bit. Everybody wants to get their question asked. And there's really no one directing traffic there. So you got to be aggressive. Everybody's talking and you got to be like, hey, you know, coach, I got a question. And at one point, Coach Norvell took a bit of a long breath. And I kind of was like, coach. And he just kind of gave me, you know, the death stare for a quick second. I accidentally interrupted him. But then he did answer my question that I had. And he was very gracious about it. It wasn't like he was mad at me, but I think he was just like, you know, who is this guy? So that was kind of like my true freshman moment of the day. But it's cool because everybody's there for the same thing. You know, everybody's there about college football. Everybody you talk to is asking your opinion about football, you know, just to kind of give you an idea of how crazy it is in a way. So at the end of day two, and I'll try not to go into too much detail, and you'll figure out why, but I was using the restroom, and I noticed somebody walked in behind me and went to a stall to change clothes. And so then I come out, and I'm standing in the hallway checking my phone and like to see where I need to go next. And lo and behold, it was Jordan Travis. He just comes walking by like he had changed some shorts to get out of the suit. And it's just like, you know, again, keep in mind, this is someone who's never got this opportunity before. Just to be like walking past Jordan Travis in a hallway, to be being able to see Mark Richt walk right past you and EJ Manuel and a lot of guys I recognize from the ESPN Network family, like ACC Network and things like that. It's just crazy, and it was so much fun, and it was so cool, and I'm so thankful to be able to do that. So I just wanted to share those two little funny stories with you guys. You know, like I said, originally I wasn't going to say anything, but, you know, it is what it is. It's all in fun. So what I did gain from this, though, you know, I was able to ask a few questions that I had to certain teams to find out some information that I was curious about. One thing we did hear about Mike Norvell, which I asked him about the safety position, which we know is a big question this year. And I asked him how Shaheem Brown was doing stepping into that role left by a player like Jamie Robinson. And he said that he has stepped up to the challenge, but they also have some other guys that they're excited about. They have Conrad Hussey. They have Ashlyn Barker, who comes in, who was a JUCO player. And he did also mention that Kevin Knowles may be a guy that's being cross-trained. So he knows that they have the talent at corner, and they do have some guys they like that they can kind of cross-train a few guys where if they get in a pinch or they need some help out, they can lean on those talented players. He also gave us an update on Daryl Jackson's waiver. Sounds like it's really just a day-to-day process where you're just kind of waiting to hear any news. Obviously, they want it done as soon as they can with camp starting this week. But, you know, hopefully, I mean, the NCAA has got to realize the season's coming up, and hopefully they can get that taken care of. The two biggest takeaways that I had from my time at ACC Media Days as far as Florida State goes is, first off, handling expectations. And this is something that I wrote about. Some of you may have already read the article on our website. A lot of it is just, I think probably the most asked question of Mike Norvell and the players at this event was expectations. Everybody knows Florida State should be good in 2023. The players know that. Mike Norvell knows that. But I think they handled it very well. They lean into the expectations. You know, how many times did you hear Mike Norvell on social media say, listen, if you don't want to play with these type of expectations, don't come to Florida State, because that's what it is. When you play at a place like here, you're not playing to make a bowl game. You're not playing to win 10 games. So I think they understand that they have the ability to do something special this year with the players and the pieces that they have. But at the same time, no one went out there, you know, pulling a Babe Ruth and calling your home run shot saying, we're going to win the ACC, we're going to win national titles and things like that. A lot of the talk was about, we know we were inconsistent last year. We know we had to improve, or we have to improve on what we did. 10 wins was nice. It was great. But we have to get better. We have to get more consistent. That's something they all talked about. And to me, that is something that I'm excited to see, because, you know, this team, they got gassed up a lot last year from winning those 10 games. They're going to be preseason probably top 10. And so you worry how they can handle the expectations. You worry about, do they feel like they have enough talent to go out there and you know, maybe roll the helmet out there and get the win against some of these teams. But when you look at the grand scheme of things, it was a turnaround season, but they really didn't win anything. You know, you didn't beat any ranked teams at the time. You didn't win the ACC. You didn't make the playoffs or anything like that. You didn't make a New Year's Six Bowl. So there's more left to prove. And I think they understand that. And I think they're excited about the opportunity to live up to these expectations. You know, I made a reference in the article. I think Florida State is in that mode, which I like, where, you know, as the saying goes, talk softly and carry a big stick. I think Florida State knows they have a big stick this year. They have talented pieces. You have Jordan Travis. You have a deep defensive line. You have a couple of game changers at wide receiver, but you haven't done anything yet to be able to be arrogant. And I don't sense any level of arrogance from this team. So I do enjoy the way they're handling the expectations. Another thing that stood out to me was the culture talk. A lot of the things when you talked about, you know, when you talked to the players and Coach Norvell himself, when you talked about anything to do with them, the first thing they brought up was their teammates. And I asked Jared Verse, what was one of the major influences for you to come back to Florida State? And the first thing he mentioned was he named off about six guys that were coming back. When you asked about Jordan Travis, when I asked him what the big game experience that he gained against LSU and you know, against the rivals and things like that, what that's going to do for him this year, then he turns around and says how he learned from the loss at NC State and how his teammates lifted him up after that. You know, we talked a lot last year about the culture being flipped under Mike Norvell and how there was just really kind of a toxic culture in the locker room before he got there. You know, they had a couple of incidents in year one, but then they really, you saw like a team aspect, a brotherhood, a family atmosphere last year really start to develop. And a lot of the recruits that come and commit to Florida State talk about that family atmosphere. And when you talk to the players and the coaches, it really rings home. It really rings true, because sometimes, you know, we do forget that these guys are human, you know, and they are working hard. Everybody's working hard. You know, they all want to be successful. But I think that that infectious culture that they're building here is something that people want to be a part of. And that's why you see them have success in the transfer portal. I had a good conversation even with a Miami offensive lineman who transferred in from UCF. What I asked him about was, what is it, you know, what's different this time as a grad transfer, as a veteran transfer that you're looking for that maybe you didn't get out of high school, that maybe you weren't interested in out of high school? And what he told me was a lot of it is about the people that you're going to be around. You want to be around good men, good leaders, people. You know, facilities are great, and the attention and parking, you know, Ferraris and stuff on the field as people do nowadays, that's great. He said, but at the end of the day, once you've had a bit of a chance to mature and you're a little older and you've been there and seen some of the things, you're just interested in something different now. And I think that's why Florida State, they don't necessarily go do that. They don't necessarily park a Ferrari out on the field or a Lambo on the field. Instead, they have that family atmosphere. They're real with you. They'll tell you, this is where you need to get better. This is how we can use you. And I think people respect that. And that's why they've done so well in the portal. Now, obviously, we're going to get to recruiting in a minute, but you're starting to see the recruiting tick up as well. And that's a lot to do with success on the field. You know, because a lot of times the high school guys, they want to jump on an already moving train sometimes, whereas the portal guys, they know if you can help me accomplish my goals and I can help you accomplish your goals, then we can work together. And that's something that I think was really on display when you look at the culture that's being built at Florida State. And lastly, the thing I want to touch on from the ACC media days, I did get to see the uniforms up close and personal. A lot of you probably saw that on social media, on YouTube. You can check that out. I did kind of a walk around of the uniforms that were on display there in the lobby of the Westin in Charlotte. And guys, these things look really good. You know, at first when I saw the pictures, I thought they looked a lot better than the old ones. I, you know, kind of was wanting to wait till I saw them in person, and they look really good. I really love the redesign. I think it's a good mixture of the classic uniforms we know and love with the new style that they've incorporated. And the other thing too was it's a uniform template update. These are the Vapor Fuse uniforms, whereas we really had an outdated template before. And I was, being in person, I was able to actually put my hands on the material. You know, I was able to go up and feel the jersey and feel another Nike jersey or feel an Adidas jersey that was there because there's some Adidas schools there. The fabric feels different. It feels lighter. It feels more pliable. So I don't know how much that's an advantage in, you know, in a game time situation, but it does feel different. It does feel better and lighter and more pliable than the Adidas jerseys did. So that's just something that I wanted to touch on because I got to have that in-person experience. But yeah, so overall, just to wrap up ACC Media Days, again, it was a great experience. I'm really thankful for the opportunity. I had a lot of fun. I met a lot of cool people. Only one person from the FSU beat came and introduced themselves to me. I did see a few of them there, which was, you know, kind of neat to see the people that you recognize from around the program. But, you know, I know they don't know who I am, so that's no big deal. But anyway, guys, so yeah, it was just really an awesome experience. And I wanted to share that experience with you guys because, like I said, a lot of times you just see the quotes come out and the clips and things like that. But, you know, maybe you don't get the behind-the-scenes story. And so it was enjoyable. Hopefully I get to do it again next year, even though, like we mentioned, we might not be in the ACC. So that's going to bring up our next topic is conference realignment. There's a lot of rumors and there's a lot of things that you don't know that you can believe. Now, the original story put out by Chris Knee at 247, you know, he's the type of guy, he doesn't mess around. He's not going to do anything for, you know, just for clicks. So if he says there's smoke, there's probably some smoke. Now, some of the rumors that you're seeing that on social media, you kind of, I don't want to be careful before I just go jumping on the rumor mill. You know, you kind of got to wait for some details to come out. But it sounds like Florida State might be really seriously interested in going to the, well, of course they're interested, but really might be looking at going to the Big Ten or the SEC and potentially sooner than we expect. I've even seen some reports that have said Florida State, Clemson, Washington, and Oregon could head to the Big Ten as soon as this week or next week. You know, they say that August 15th, which just so happens to be my birthday, is the day that you have to inform the conference that you're in writing that you intend to leave. So that would be a great birthday present to see us getting out of the ACC. And, you know, I personally wouldn't choose the Big Ten. I would choose the SEC. But with what we saw Commissioner Jim Phillips talk about at ACC Media Days, he came out and basically fed us a bunch of word salad. And I was going to do a wrap for you guys after the day one on his thoughts. But lo and behold, I actually got an accident on the way home from the day one of the ACC Media Days. Now, I'm fine. Everything's good. But those of you who listen, my poor car, you know I just got it back from something else. So anyway, he really didn't say anything. It was a lot of repeating last year. It was a lot of we're third in this and we're doing well in that and we shouldn't chase numbers. But the thing is, Florida State has to look out for themselves, frankly. They are a school that doesn't want to just compete like a lot of the teams in the ACC. They want to win conference championships. They want to compete on a national level against the Ohio States, the Georgias, the Alabamas, the Michigans of the world. And you can't do that when you have a $20, $30, $40 million revenue gap that's only going to continue to grow. The ACC has sat by and watched a lot of these conferences already expand and go grab some of these other teams. From what Jim Phillips said, it sounds like Notre Dame is a long shot. It's never happening. They're not coming to the ACC, and they don't have a reason to, frankly. So I think it is best for Florida State to get out of the ACC. Like I said, personally, I would take the SEC because of the geographical location, a lot of the stadiums and stuff that you get to go to. I think it would be fun to have, you know, Tiger Stadium at nighttime, Jordan-Hare, you got Tennessee, Neyland Stadium, 100,000-plus. That would be awesome. The Grove at Ole Miss. Now, I understand that the Big Ten still has its exciting matchups. I'd love to go to a whiteout at Penn State. You got the Big House at Michigan, the Horseshoe at Ohio State. I think these are all really good opportunities for Florida State, and either one of them is going to end up being better than the ACC. Now, I don't know how it gets translated in there with who comes with you, whether it be Clemson, Miami. I don't know how you protect that rivalry. You know, all these are going to be moving parts. This is something that's going to have to be figured out as things go, but I really just don't feel like Florida State would kind of put out that kind of smoke unless they kind of had an idea of what's going on. I've seen where people said the buyout could be negotiated down to around $300 million and paid off by about $30 million a year for 10 years, which when you look at the revenue gap, you're going to be earning essentially the same thing, if not more, while paying that down. So it really is a no-brainer. And the other thing is, you look at the gap now, but let's just say hypothetically, the Big Ten does add Oregon, Washington, Clemson, and Florida State, or even Miami, then they're going to be able to go back to the table and renegotiate those TV contracts for even more money. So, like we said, guys, if Florida State wants to compete with these big brand name and get their seat at the table in the Power 2, you know, the Big 12 might end up being Power 3. We might have three power conferences because they are aggressive and expanding. But right now, the Big Power 2 is the Big Ten and the SEC. For them to get that seat at the table, you know, if they're willing to make a move, I think you just go ahead and make it. So we'll have to see how the news breaks on that. Obviously, if something's going to happen soon, and most things don't happen overnight in conference expansion, but we should know relatively soon. You know, it's only about a little over 2 weeks from August the 15th, so we'll see how that comes out. So the next topic I want to get into, guys, is recruiting. Let's talk about that because, you know, like we said, summer is the hot time for recruiting, and Florida State has been hot. July has, what, I think six, maybe even seven commitments so far. Now you look at Charles Lester committed the other day, and there was so much drama around that. Like, everybody was worried about Colorado, and is Deion going to steal another DB? And it turns out Lester had been silently committed since June. And this is why I tell people to stop worrying about it. Don't go on social media freaking out about recruiting. No one kid, whether it be a five-star, six-star, whatever, you know, I know that six-star is not a thing. Y'all get the point. Whatever they are, they're not going to make or break this program. It's not always about star ratings on a player. Yes, you want to get five stars. Yes, you want to get four stars. You want the most talented players possible because the blue chip ratio, frankly, it is a real thing. If you want to win a national championship, you need to have above a 50% blue chip ratio until it's proven that you don't. And currently, that is not the case. But you look at a guy like, and I'm going to give you an example. You look at a guy like Demaurie Tate, five-star defensive back, came into Florida State and has since departed via the portal, never made an impact. I don't even know if he ever played a snap. But then you look at a guy like Jamie Robinson, transferred in as a three-star high school recruit from South Carolina and led your team in tackles the last two seasons in a row and was probably one of, you know, when you look at like Jermaine Johnson and guys like that to get factored in, one of the, if not the best players on your defense for 2 years running as a three-star. So to me, there's just really no reason in getting so wound up in a star rating and whether one kid's going to recruit or you know, going to sign or going to flip or do whatever when you have to just trust the evaluation of the staff and who they feel fits this roster the best, who can be developed into the players that they need in their system. You know, again, now I do think it's good for the optics for Florida State to win this recruitment. It would have looked bad nationally with them losing another top-ranked DB to Deion. But at the same time, you know, because that does influence, I think, when you get some of these big players in the boat, it does influence maybe where a couple guys choose to go to school. You know, if you get a five-star quarterback, maybe that influences a five-star wide receiver or something like that to come play. But at the same time, there's a lot left in the season. There's a lot of games to be played. Even if Lester had went to Colorado, what's going to happen when they win two games this year, maybe three games? You know, when you look at some of the guys that went to Miami, you got JoJo Traitor committed down there. What's going to happen when Miami wins five or six games? And if Florida State, if, you know, of course, you got to put your money where your mouth is. But if Florida State wins, say, 11 games this year, wins the ACC and plays in the Orange Bowl or even goes to the playoffs, that's going to be a lot of momentum that could flip kids. So there are some that obviously you have to be on the lookout on flip watch for. So, you know, just kind of don't, like they say, don't count your chickens before your eggs hatch. They're a long way to December. You could lose some kids. You could gain some kids. It's obviously important, but that's why I always tell people, don't stress about it right now. There's nothing you can do. And either way, Florida State's going to be fine. They're going to get players. This is still a destination program. People are still going to commit here. And if not, you can go on the portal. You can go find someone like a Jamie Robinson, who's a three-star that's already produced. Would you rate Jamie Robinson a three-star now, after you've seen what he's done in college? To me, I would almost rather have that Jamie Robinson type of player, a proven three-star, than say a Damori Tate, who's a five-star, but never did anything for you. And that's nothing against Damori Tate. That could have been a lot to do with the coaching changes and the rough patch that Florida State had, but only time will tell. Now, as far as the 2024 class, talking about who we do have, again, you get Charles Lester. You got Itiati. You flipped him from USC, who is a mauler up front, just one of those pure strength guys that needs to be developed. And when you start looking at some of the pieces that they're bringing in, this 24 class could be really pivotal for Florida State. This is the type of class they're sitting at sixth nationally right now, first in the ACC. And at the time of me recording this episode, their blue chip ratio is actually higher than that of Clemson's right now. So they are on fire on the trail, and this is the type of class, and I know some people feel like 2024 doesn't have the most talent in the class as a whole, but you're getting some really good pieces, and when you combine that with what you got in 2023 with Hakeem Williams, Vandrevious Jacobs, you know, those type of guys, Lucas Simmons, and the big offensive line class you got in 2021, as well as some of the other pieces, you're really starting to lift that talent level consistently year over year. Your blue chip ratio is starting to climb, and that's going to bring success on the field for Florida State, especially when you consider they're able to add from the portal pieces here and there where they need it. You know, sometimes it's harder to hold on to depth anymore, which is something that Dino Babers talked about at the ACC kickoff. He said a lot of your good backups, they're going to start to move. They're going to start to leave. They want to go have opportunities other places. So even if you recruit well in high school, there's no guarantee that you're going to hold on to them, which is why I think the portal is here to stay. And of course it's here to stay, but you get what I mean. That it's not something, you know, when Florida State does good in the portal, everybody says, well, this is not sustainable. And to be honest, they don't know that. There is no proof that says this is not sustainable. Now you can't guarantee what's going to be coming in and out every year. But when you look at, you're able to build your roster through high school, which is what you always want to do. But you may have a couple of shortcomings on your roster where you need to lean on the portal. And so that's, to me, that's, it's encouraging to see that Florida State is getting the higher ranking recruiting classes. Because I know there was a lot of talk whether Norvell could recruit high school and whatnot. And I understand that. And I think now they're proving people wrong. They're making them eat crow. Because now they are, Florida State has been one of the hottest teams on the trail. It's starting to get national attention with all these commits. But you're still going to need to supplement your roster through the portal if you want to be good year over year and not have to be like, well, you know, we're not going to, look at Clemson, perfect example. You know, Clemson this year is really, they're still really good. And we're going to get into this when I talk about all the team previews later down the road. Clemson is still stacked, and that's why I'm so torn on what this game is going to end up being. But if you think about where Clemson is at, what are their deficiencies? Wide receiver and possibly the secondary. They were banged up a lot last year, but you know, if they're healthy, they can be good. But they still gave up a lot of pass yards. But if you look and you flip and say that Clemson gets Fentrell Cypress and Keon Coleman, it's a different outlook for their season now. So you have people like Dabo who refuse to use the portal, and that may change going forward, which is something that he even talked about at ACC Media Days, that you may have to look at it, but you like who you got, but you still may need to supplement that roster in areas of weakness. And it can still transform your deficiencies overnight. And you can go into the portal and you can get a player who's already proven that they can produce at the college level, which to me is one of the underlying storylines in the Clemson-Florida State matchup this year, is kind of what wins out. You have a team like Clemson who absolutely refuses to use the portal, but has out-recruited Florida State pretty heavily since 2018. Whereas you have a team like Florida State who has maybe under-recruited a team like Clemson, doesn't have that blue chip ratio, but has brought in experience and production with, you know, receipts for their production. Which one is going to win out? Because to me, if you have a team like Florida State that can go into Clemson this year, into Death Valley, and beat that team, then that right there tells you that you can win with a roster built primarily out of portal players. Now, of course, you want to have the best high school recruits possible, and you want to develop them in your system over time. You don't want to keep, so to speak, borrowing everybody's tools, which is why I find it so silly that people get so caught up over one recruit and where they're going to commit, when commitment doesn't even really mean committed anymore. You know, these days kids flip so fast, depending on different circumstances, that until that letter of intent gets actually sent in, there's really no point in counting on anybody going to be there anyway. So recruiting now, it's completely changed with the portal. It's completely changed with the early signing period and things like that. But the good thing is the staff over the month of July especially has shown that they do have the ability to recruit high school kids at a high level. And they are building a class that can really set Florida State up for a successful future when you look at all the pieces. I mean, you have a quarterback who can be the future for you, and he's going to come in and compete against a better level than he would have in the past with having guys like A.J. Duffy and Brock Glenn on the roster. So again, you just continue to elevate that. You have some really quality young offensive linemen on this roster now. You know, look at back in the day, Julian Armella might have played it as a freshman because he was just your most talented guy. I thought maybe he might have started this year. He might not. He might not even start this year because you just have so much experience on that roster. But that also gives you the opportunity when you do plug those guys in, they're ready to go. You don't have to play them too early. And that's something, again, that's just going to keep paying dividends for Florida State going down the road. But they're definitely doing a good job. And this was a real big win for Patrick Surtain Sr. too. You know, to be able to go in and get a recruit that Deion wanted, Alabama wanted, Georgia wanted, to be able to go and win that battle, I think that was huge for the confidence going forward with him as a recruiter. Because, you know, we really hadn't seen him recruit from a college perspective. You know, he helped put kids in college as a high school coach, but he never really recruited at the college level. So that was a good win for him on the trail. And, you know, of course, they're going to have to get a little bit better recruiting linebacker and maybe some defensive linemen. We need some more impact defensive linemen. But they've also had some pretty good success with getting some guys out of the portal. So with that said, I think we're going to go ahead and kind of wrap it up here. Like I said, I am still working on that preseason magazine, and once I get that finished, I'm going to be able to roll out so much content for you guys. And I will say that it has really kind of opened my eyes to some things. I've really found some things out with some of these teams that maybe I didn't expect before or think of before. And I will leave you with this. You know, last year, I was able, when I went through the schedule and I looked at primarily what everybody else had, knowing what Florida State had, I went through and I was able to, again, humble brag, I was able to get Florida State's schedule correct prediction-wise, game by game. I had a couple of games that even went, you know, it was within one score of my prediction. And when I looked at last year, I was like, okay, it kind of sounds a little crazy. You kind of had to talk yourself into some wins. Like, okay, why can't they beat LSU? Why can't they beat this team? Why can't they go on the road and beat Louisville on a Friday night? And then you're like, okay, just have confidence that they're going to do it. And they were able to do it. The interesting thing about this year is I'm kind of having to talk myself into why they could lose a game, because the more you dig into it, the more you're like, I think Florida State should be able to win every game on the schedule. I'm not going to say easily, but you know, they should be favored to win every game on the schedule besides LSU and Clemson. And personally, I think that they are better than LSU this year. And again, I'm going to get into that eventually. Once we start doing these previews, Clemson to me is kind of the wild card. I think that, you know, you should have a little bit of an advantage with an experienced quarterback over Clemson, but you have to go play in their place. The point being that I'm trying to make is last year you had to find ways to predict Florida State to win. I think they're better in this position. I think they're better in that position. This year, you're kind of really having to find some weird little things why you would pick them to lose. Okay, I think they can beat Clemson. Oh, it's at Death Valley. Is that enough to push it over the edge? And that is exciting to know that now we have a team where you're having to start to dig a little farther to figure out why they might drop this game. Now, again, people can lose games inexplicably. We know that nothing is ever guaranteed. But it is a good feeling knowing that Florida State has the talent to, I feel, or the, at least the proven production, to go stand toe-to-toe with anybody on the schedule. Now, am I guaranteeing that they're going to win a national championship and go undefeated? No, of course not. Things do happen. You have to stay healthy. You know, one thing I talked about with some other people at the ACC Media Days was, you know, what really goes into winning a national championship? You have to have luck on your side. It has to be injury luck. You need turnover luck. You need a lot of things to go your way. So there's more to it than just saying this person has more talent than that person. You still have to go against a roster like Georgia. You still have to go against a team with rosters like Ohio State and things like that that have out-recruited you. But when you look at the pieces that Florida State has, and when you look at the production that they bring back, and when you look at the way they've handled the lesser teams on their schedule with, you know, blowing them out, then I really just think Florida State has the potential to have a really special season in 2023. And I can't wait to get further into it with you guys. Like I said, I'm going to be busting my butt to try and finish this magazine in the next week or so. And then we're just going to, like I said, really open the floodgates of content. And I got some stuff that I know you guys are going to enjoy. So with that said, we'll wrap it up here. I appreciate everybody's support because, again, none of this would be possible without you guys. And I really do appreciate everything. So as always, thanks for listening and go Noles.